Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess I like preaching in Zion because I get the parking in the speaker spot.
Okay, you can come next week too.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to see my notes. My eyes keep shutting all the time.
Okay.
But last night I went to bed early. I woke up. I didn't go back to sleep for hours. So if I'm falling asleep, you'll understand why. They used to teach you how to share the gospel, and the one question that one group asks is, if you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? Where would you spend eternity? And there was a guy who one time he went to the hospital and he was dying. And when he met with the doctor, he asked the doctor, "Tell me something about the place I'm going." If you're a doctor and this doctor is a Christian, what do you say? I asked AI just recently. AI knows everything, so you might as well ask, or he thinks he knows everything. What is the percentage of the people in Canada who think they're going to heaven? And AI tells me it's 60%. Now, it depends on which part of Canada. If you're in the prairies, it's really 72%. If you're in Quebec, it's really 50%. This is the spectrum, that the majority of people, 3 out of every 5, believe they're going to heaven. They believe that that's what it is. So who really goes to heaven? That's the question. And how do you know you'll be there? How do you know you'll be there? In 1974, that's when I was a teenager. 1974, there was 4 guys from high school in Oshawa. You know where Oshawa is, it's not too far from here. They formed a group called Wednesday. And they had a hit song. I don't know if some of you heard of the hit song, but it was supposed to be a love song, but it's kind of weird because in the love song, the girl dies. Like they go on a date, they get in a car accident, and she dies. And the song's called Last Kiss. And so he kisses her before she dies. You know, it's really, really romantic, right? But the chorus caught my eye. It says, oh, where, can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I gotta be good so I can see my baby when I leave this world. Any of you heard of this song? It dates me. Anyways, you can look it up, Wednesday. That's the name of the group. Anyways. But what they sang was really interesting because they says, she's gone to heaven, so I got to be good. And the common thinking of majority of people in this world is that the good are the ones that go to heaven. And the bad are the ones that go to hell. The good, of course, heaven is for the righteous. And the other place is for the wicked. I mean, that makes common sense. I mean, everybody believes that. Everybody understands that. But the problem is, what is good? See, the problem is, in the Bible it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's nobody who's good, according to God. John Hanna is a pastor of a mega church in Chicago. And he said this, 2 things will surprise us when we arrive in heaven. Who is there and who isn't. who is there and who isn't. So who is in heaven? And Jesus talks about this in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And I decided whenever I'm preaching, I'm going to preach from the Sermon on the Mount. How's that? We have a mini series going on. I mean, it could take years to I won't say years to finish it. I won't take years for this message either. Now, we read about the context. When he saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him and began to teach them, saying, he saw the crowds. He went up the mountainside so he could get better leverage and speak. Can you imagine talking to a whole bunch of people, hundreds of people? You're talking about hundreds, if not thousands. And the interesting thing was he just sat down. He just kind of found a place. Can you imagine me preaching, just sitting down here like this? Of course you can't see. Yeah. And he sat down. He began to teach them. Who were them? The disciples? The crowds? And he begins with the topic of happiness and the kingdom of heaven. Blessed means happy, fortune, blissful. It's not a superficial feeling of well-being because of circumstances, but a supernatural experience, content with one's relationship with God. And Jesus did not say, happy are the rich, the noble, the successful, the macho, the glamorous, the popular, the famous, the self-confident. But he said, happy are the poor in spirit, the mournful, the meek, those who desire righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted. This is not the prosperity gospel he's preaching. And Jesus tells us who goes to heaven. I want us to examine this morning just the two verses of the Beatitudes, what they call the Beatitudes. Just to reflect on who goes to heaven. First of all, heaven belongs to those who are poor in spirit. Heaven belongs to those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The meaning of poor in spirit, poor, comes from the Greek word puchos, excuse my Greek. It's not very good. But poor, it's a verb meaning to shrink, to cower, like the beggar of the day. It refers to a person reduced to total destitution and couched in the corner begging. Lazarus, like the other, there's another word that translates into poor, is penetros. In Luke 21:2, the widow was poor, but she was no beggar. But here, Lazarus was a begging poor. Do you see, there's two different words that translate poor. I have a friend who has a nice pension, has a multi-million dollar home, and he tells me the other day he's poor. And I said, you're not poor. You're not poor. A lot of people say, you're poor, but are you begging poor? You see, there are those who are really poor, those who think they're poor, and those who are begging poor. They're so poor that they have to beg. Jesus was not teaching that material poverty is the way to spiritual prosperity. I mean, he spoke about financial help to the poor. But spiritual poverty, poor in spirit, is one who is lost, one who is hopeless, one who is helpless. Apart from God, no matter what education, wealth, or social status, poor in spirit, spiritual beggar, means you're humble, you're contrite in heart, in spirit, heartbroken, crushed in spirit. The Old Testament teaching, Isaiah says this, has not my hand made all these things so that they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. The psalmist in Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And in Psalm 51, David said this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You see, poor in spirit, you got to think of in contrast to rich in spirit. The Pharisees back in those days were rich in spirit. They were very confident of their own righteousness, looked down on everybody else. Remember Jesus told that parable. Two men went up to the temple and prayed. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you. I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers. Or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, give tenth of all I got. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That is the picture of being poor in spirit versus rich in spirit. Are we poor in spirit today? The result of being poor in spirit is of being humble before God. Because we teach people to, well, this is how you get to heaven. You pray this little prayer. You just believe this and you just say all these right words and you're there. But they've never been broken over their sins. They've never been poor in spirit. It's more like an intellectual decision. But there is this brokenness, this emotional experience. The result is that it says, there is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Luke 12:32, it says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Isaiah wrote, for this is what high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place forever. But also with him, who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to receive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. James said this, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So how do you apply this poor in spirit? It means that we don't focus on ourselves. We focus on God. It means seeing the strengths and virtues of others and our own weaknesses. It means spending much time in prayer as a spiritual beggar, begging for spiritual sustenance. It means giving up our own little kingdoms and ultimately inheriting God's kingdom. It means true happiness is not found in your kingdom or anyone else's kingdom, but God's. Poor in spirit. Have you been poor in spirit? Have you ever been poor in spirit? Have you ever been broken before God? because we talk about heaven and hell. We talk about eternity. Poor in spirit are the ones who get there, not rich in spirit. Secondly, we see this heaven belongs to those who mourn. The meaning of those who mourn. Now, mourn, they're actually one English word. It says mourn. But there are nine different Greek terms in the New Testament that expresses sorrow. Pentheo is the strongest and most severe. It's the deepest and most heartfelt grief, generally grief over the death of a loved one. And this is the word. It's the most you can mourn. But the mourning is also in a tense that it's continual mourning. Blessed are those who continue to mourn. Can't find my notes here. There it goes. We mourn over the spiritual bankruptcy, over our sinfulness. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said this: even if I cause you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I'm happy, not because you made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you become sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by godly sorrow, brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets, but worldly sorrow brings death. James said this: grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your spiritual, your joy to gloom. See, spiritual poverty leads to godly sorrow. In other words, poor in spirit becomes those who mourn. The world tells us, hide our problems, pretend to be happy. But Jesus said, confess your sins and mourn. The result of those who mourn is they shall be comforted. This is the same root word, comforted, as you get from comforter, the Holy Spirit, the helper. It's not the mourning that blesses us, but the comfort God gives to godly mourners. You shall be. The future tense, sense. Blessing is after the mourning over sin. You shall be comforted. Ultimate comfort is found in Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older order of things has passed away. What does it mean? How do we apply this? It means that we need to be sensitive to sin. I mean, when there's humor at the expense of God's name, God's word, God's church, God's people, are we sensitive to that? It means we need to mourn and weep in repentance rather than to hide sin and pretend it's okay. It means that we must evaluate how much we hate sin or love it. The problem with sin is that we don't hate it enough. We don't hate it enough. And that's why we don't mourn. We need to hate sin. And we mourn over sin and rather than embrace it. It means that we never presume God's grace. I mean, Romans 6, says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? It means that we must not procrastinate in dealing with sin. Blessed are those who mourn. Why, do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes. So who are the ones that go to heaven? Who are the ones? It's not the ones you think that have it all together spiritually. It's not all the pastors. Sorry, guys. Not all the deacons, the elders. They seem to have it all together. But a lot of times they don't. They're broken inside. It's not the ones you think have it all together, but the ones who are humbled by the presence of God, mourning in repentance over sin before the Almighty God. You see, this is what we begin with, the Sermon on the Mount. You think you're going to heaven? Well, think again. Are you poor in spirit? Are you mourning over your sin? Over the actions and thoughts? Where are you going when you face death? The dying man asked the doctor. That doctor had no idea. Well, he wouldn't say he had no idea. He heard scratching on the door. And it turned out the patient said, when I came here, I came in with my dog. That's my dog scratching on the door. I left him downstairs, but he'd grown impatient. He came up because he heard my voice. He had no notion what was inside that door. But he knew that you were there. And the doctor told the man, you know, just like the door, that you're going to go beyond that door. You have no idea what's going to happen there. But you know the master's there. You know your master is there. See, it's never an issue where heaven is. It's not an issue. The issue is who is in heaven. And the master creator is there in heaven to spend eternity with him. That is all we have. We never make it on our own. It's all his grace and mercy. But it begins with the poor in spirit and those who mourn. Let us pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you for the salvation you provide, not because we deserve it, and not because we made it, but because of your grace and your mercy. Help us as we continue to reflect on the kingdom and how we can get there because of your grace. Help us to be poor in spirit, humble ourselves before you, and help us to mourn the way you want us to mourn, that we will experience your comfort. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.